Hey, everybody, you're back with me on The Takeaway. And have you ever been discriminated against because of your hair?
I am biracial, so anytime I would wear my hair down at work, people would tell me how wild it was.
In 1994, I was told my goddess braids with extensions made my coworkers feel uncomfortable. The stylist physically balked when they saw her hair and told her that it would be better for her to have her hair cut by someone that understood it.
Well, on Monday, New York City's Commission on Human Rights released new guidelines that protect New Yorkers from being discriminated against because of the way they wear their hair at work, at school, and in public. The new law considers hair discrimination to be a form of racial discrimination and allows New Yorkers to sue if they're targeted. And while the law applies to anyone, it's specifically designed to address instances where black hairstyles, from dreadlocks to afros to braids, have prompted sometimes subtle and other times very overt examples of racism and discrimination. It's also the first guideline of its kind in the country. Rhea Tabaco-Marr is with me, and she's a senior staff attorney at the ACLU, and you're going to help us understand what this is all about. Rhea, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm listening to some of our callers, and we'll hear some of them in a little bit. When they're talking about wild hair and it being considered inappropriate, I get that. I feel that. What about you?
Well, one of the most pernicious stereotypes about natural black hair is this idea that it's inherently unkempt, it's messy, it's unprofessional. And those are exactly the stereotypes this new guidance is intended to combat. After all, this is the first time we've had official recognition that discrimination because of natural black hair is actually a form of discrimination against black people. That might sound like common sense, but actually courts have tied themselves up in knots trying to make a distinction between those two things. And this guidance really gives us a roadmap to understanding how discrimination based on hair is a form of discrimination based on race.
So you wrote an op-ed in the New York Times last summer after a video came out showing a tearful elementary school student in Louisiana who was sent home for wearing braids. And that, of course, was not the first time we saw a young black girl or black child being disciplined because of their hairstyle. Tell us a little bit about your story and where this issue of hair discrimination comes from in this country.
Well, Tanzina, it's absolutely outrageous to think of children being taken out of school, missing class, barred from extracurriculars, suspended from school simply because of the way they wear their hair. And we've seen these incidents come up more and more now with the popularity of phone cameras. We're seeing viral videos of students as young as 6 years old being banned from school because of their locks, student athletes being banned from competition because of their hair. And this problem really is inextricably linked with our nation's history of anti-black racism and chattel slavery. You know, even the phrase dreadlocks is said to come from slave traders who viewed African hair as dreadful. So it's really impossible to disentangle those two forms of discrimination.
I keep thinking back to the more recent example of the wrestler in New Jersey who had his hair cut in that moment. That to me just felt really, I felt that deeply and intensely. What does that tell us about where we are today with this issue?
Well, it's shocking that in 2019, this is the first time we're having official recognition that discrimination against natural black hair is a form of race discrimination. And we see this come up not just in school, but also at work, as you mentioned earlier. Just a few years ago, there was a case of a woman named Chastity Jones who was hired for a customer support position. And when she was offered the job, she was told she could have the position on one condition, that she cut off her dreadlocks. And when she refused, she actually had the job offer rescinded. That, of course, is a very drastic consequence for any of us. And the manager admitted that the reason for the policy was the idea that locks tend to get messy, even though Ms. Jones's hair, in fact, was not messy. And so that's exactly the kind of group-based stereotype that laws against discrimination are supposed to protect us from.
So let's talk a little bit about the specifics of hair. And there are different textures and there are different colors and all. There's a sentiment, I think, when we talk about hair in the workplace in particular, is that there's sort of this issue of appearing too ethnic, not white enough, not pressed enough, if you will. I mean, I recall I don't have kinky hair in particular, but I have a ton of it, and it's very thick, and it's a lot, and I always felt I had to straighten it, even today, in order to appear professional. Let's talk a little bit about that, the pressures that women, particularly women with textured hair, black hair, face when they walk into a workplace and have to feel, quote unquote, professional, and how that professionalism often means a certain standard.
Absolutely. Well, I think when it comes to what it means to look professional, sometimes those comments go unsaid and sometimes they're made quite explicit. So in the op-ed you mentioned, I shared a story in my own life. I do wear my hair in locks. And when I was in law school, I was dressed for an interview wearing a suit and told by a classmate, you know, nice suit. but you'll never look really professional with your hair and dreadlocks. And that comment really stuck with me. It was over 10 years ago. But I always felt that she had voiced something that other people were thinking but were afraid to tell me to my face. The idea that somehow wearing natural hair meant that I didn't look professional. And of course, that begs the question, what does it mean to look professional? And are we assuming a standard that is white, a standard that involves straight hair, and for those of us who have naturally kinky hair, means subjecting ourselves to costly, expensive, damaging chemicals in order to conform to that appearance at work?
I want to play some calls that we got. We heard a little bit of a sample of them from the beginning, but let's take a listen to a call from Cece.
This is Cece from Morgantown, West Virginia. I've experienced discrimination about my hair at work. In 1994, I was told my goddess braids with extensions made my coworkers feel uncomfortable. I heard the same feedback in 2000. After I got a short natural haircut, I still get the same message today, but continue to wear my short natural proudly ever since.
What is the problem that Cece's experiencing? I'm trying to envision the problem here. I don't see it. What is the issue?
Well, again, it shows us that race discrimination because of hair is far from a thing from the past. And when it comes to Cece's first example involving extensions, that's something we see time and time again. Rules against certain kinds of hairstyles that are facially neutral but that are applied in an unfair way to punish Black people. So, for example, girls in Massachusetts sent home from school for wearing box braids, including extensions, even though the yearbook at that same school included photographs of white students wearing hair extensions and other styles.
I was just going to say, I think of the Kardashians with cornrows, and I think is that, you know, like, I mean, where does the line sort of, you know, end? Let's listen to another call, because this also happens to Black women in the military, Black women in other professions. Let's listen to Sharon.
My name is Sharon, and I'm calling from Virginia because I'm a Black woman in the military. For over 20 years, I've had to be concerned if my hair would be a discriminator on promotion boards. So I wear my hair naturally now, but when I take my official photo for the military, I wear a wig, so I'm not viewed as an outlier.
We've got about a minute left. I'm wondering, what kind of pressure does this put on women, and now, or women and men? Now we have some recourse, right?
Absolutely. And it's important to point out that even though New York City is the first to state expressly that hair discrimination is a form of race discrimination, any place that bans race discrimination should bar this kind of discrimination as well. And I really want to encourage people to come forward and tell their stories. Only in the last few years that even the Army and the Marine Corps have lifted their ban.
And allowing women to wear twists and different types of hairstyles that they weren't allowed to wear before.
Absolutely. If the Army can do it, so can the rest of us.
New York City just released new guidelines on discriminations against hairstyle. Rhea Tabak-Omar joined me to talk about them. She's a staff attorney at the ACLU. Thanks so much, Rhea.
Thanks for having me.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people, by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.